The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Reporting from the Marble Nut House, State Senator Noah Robinson rejoins the program. How are you doing this morning, Noah? Great to have you on.
It's great to be on. Thank you very much for inviting.
All right. How nutty is the Nut House right now? Is it nutty, getting nuttier right now and becoming less nutty? How would you judge the temperature? Because no one's safe as long as the state legislature is in session. We know that every year, and this is the big one.
That's right. And early in the session is when everyone is looking around and saying, well, it's not too bad yet. We hope things are okay. But the real problems usually develop farther into the session than this. We have things coming up, like in the Energy Committee. You know, they made you pay 5 cents at the grocery store for every bag you get.
Oh, that came from the Energy Committee? I never knew that.
Well, I don't know. Actually, I don't know which committee it originally came from. But in the committee is an expansion of that, where you won't be able to get anything except paper. You'll have to pay for it still.
Okay, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Years ago, weren't they telling us that the paper bag was the horrible thing? Wonderful. You know,
yes, it was.
Cutting.
We were going to lose all the trees, right? This is that we all had to switch to plastic because the paper was in short supply. But now, if this bill goes through, and they're pushing it pretty hard, you will only be able to have paper.
So that means that like when you go to some stores and they will charge you and then you get those really heavy duty paper bag or plastic bags, the ones that can be used multiple times and actually save those ones when I get them. We wouldn't be able to get those any longer.
Yep. Those would be illegal at the checkout. Now, you could buy them somewhere else in the store, but you couldn't buy them at the checkout.
Couldn't buy them at the checkout. Okay. I love it when the legislature is choosing what I'm allowed to buy for my own good. It's my favorite behavior coming out of the legislature. I love it.
Exactly. And if you calculate it, I figure about 100 people spend full time just interacting with the gas on average. If you add up the little bit of time everybody spends, there's 100 full-time equivalent to just interacting over, do you want a bag? How many bags do you need? It used to be convenient. Now it's a mess.
Yeah, I guess so. That's being a serious thing because, you know, I was reading that there was going to be a new fight coming over plastic bags. So this is what it is. It's just going to ban the plastic and then back to the, all right, now if you're going to have us have only paper bags, can we guarantee that the paper bags have a certain weight capacity then? So that way we're not spilling our groceries on our foot. I mean, this is for a safety rule. I'm kind of teasing you here, Noah. But
well, you better watch out, or there'll be an amendment on that, and the bag is going to cost
$10. That's right. They'll be cardboard bags, right? You know, with thick cardboard with handles. I don't know.
The same bill is also going after the little shampoo bottles in hotel rooms. Those will be illegal, and it will be illegal for a fast food restaurant to give you plastic silverware without asking. It just makes everything more convenient.
You know, these are some of the most violated laws that we have in the state. I swear the state legislature is trying to turn everybody into a criminal because, you know how, I know the existing law right now says they're not supposed to, you have to ask if you wanted a drinking straw, as an example. Well, yeah. I know that you go through most drive-thrus, they just stick it in the bag. They know you want it, right?
That's right. And if you want a plastic bag at the grocery store, the best time to ask is after they've rung you up. You might just get it anyway.
Okay. What about, though, the fire map? This is the one I'm concerned about. And today is going to be the big rally. I know there are buses. One just departed Grants Pass. One departed Medford earlier this morning. And maybe more buses. I don't know. But there are people that are going to be joining the rally. What do you know? What is the current status of Senate Bill 762? Is it teetering on life support, or are the Democrats going to fight to the death to be able to destroy rural landowners?
Well, on the fire maps themselves, the indication is that the Democrats realize they've overreached and want to repeal them. Now, nothing has happened yet. I have a full repeal bill, 678. Mm-hmm. It has not been, there's no hearing scheduled for it yet. At the same time, Senator Golden has stated on the Senate floor that he thinks that the fire maps aren't working and we need to repeal them.
Okay.
Senator Broadman has said the same thing. He's another Democrat. course, the Republicans are united on this. I haven't heard from any Democrats who are supporting it. And really, I think the debate right now is whether we get a full repeal of 762 or just the fire maps. And of course, since 762 did do other things, my preference when a bill has caused this much trouble, because he did have some things in there for fire suppression and money spent here and
there. Yeah. What were some of the other things? Because Senator Golden has said on the show, he says there are good things about it. But, you know, we didn't really get into the granularity of that. Could you help us out? Was there anything good in Senate Bill 762 worth saving?
The thing that I like most, and I haven't evaluated how well it's worked, but there were some cameras put up to try to see smoke early, try to detect fires early.
So, okay. All right. I mean, so that's reasonable. Good. At least it's attempting to put out fires. That's good.
That's right. And there were other things. There was some money spent on programs to try to suppress fires in various ways. And what ought to be done, because it's been 4 years, is every one of those little programs should be evaluated, see how effective it was. And I particularly like detection technology. I think if we could see the fires early and put them out early, we'd be way ahead. And I think the technology probably could do that. I'm trying to find out, does something exist that could see most of the state? And I don't know the answer to that yet, but it's the right way to go. Hmm. That sort of thing is good. So I would personally prefer to repeal the whole thing, then look through it for anything that was useful and put that in another bill just because of the whole situation. I think more realistically, we will probably have to just repeal the fire maps themselves. And as long as that covers the fire maps and everything associated with it and isn't some temporary hole that is still there, if that part is completely gone and anything related to homeowners on it, then that works too. We just need to get rid of the fire maps, and it's urgent. People are being hurt right now. They don't know whether they're going to be able to continue living on their property.
Senator, wasn't there a part of Senate Bill 762 that also repealed the limitation on the ability of ODF to assess a property owner for fire protection services? Or I forget exactly what it was. Like, there was a limit before that they couldn't do more than $25 a year, I think. And has there been discussion about that? Because it's pretty clear that one of the reasons Senate Bill 762 was created was to find a way, some kind of a Trojan horse, some kind of political leverage to transfer firefighting costs from, like, BLM lands and Forest Service lands that burn over into public lands. They wanted to transfer the liability really from the state over to the landowners that live out in the rural lands, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's kind of the way
That's exactly what it did. That's what the fire maps did. We took the responsibility for, you know, the forests have been mismanaged for decades.
Right.
And so now we're going to put this all on the homeowners. They're going to have to, and it's
Yeah. Sucks to be that you live near forests, right? So
That's right. And I hear from property owners who have been very careful to try to fire harden their property as much as possible on their own.
Right.
But what they can't do anything about is the government land, which is right next to their property, which is,
you know, it's essentially you're living next to irresponsible arsonist controlled lands. You know, they'll just, it's not. And by the way, I'm not saying that the employees of BLM and Forest Service want it this way. It's kind of it's federal policy. It's been, you know, you can't harvest it, you can't do anything with it, and you can't burn enough of it in prescribed burning to keep it safe. So something's going to happen, right? I mean, it's almost like it's the attractive nuisance that is happening.
And remember that a few decades ago, they started getting rid of the roads in the forest. There used to be all these logging roads, some of them very well maintained. So you had fire breaks. You had ways of getting equipment easily into the forest. And they, for the most part, didn't eliminate them, but they just took them off the maps and let them grow up so that you no longer had access inside these forests in case of a problem. So that the whole government policy has been to just let the thing decay and let it burn, and this is where we are now.
Now, is there any talk about repealing that ability for ODF to pretty much charge the sky's the limit for assessments on properties?
Yes, I have not heard any talk about that, but that should be done.
Because you knew that, as far as I was concerned, the fix was in when they removed that limitation. That limitation was actually a private property protection mode, I thought.
Yeah, exactly. So no, that should be done. And I am also very interested in, like I was mentioning earlier, The question is, how effectively can you put out the fires? They need to be done. We need to be able to see the fires as early as possible. We need to be equipped to put them out as fast as possible, because fires are expensive and damaging when they burn out of control. So the goal of ODFW should be to put these fires out quickly, not wait around, and not try to blame on the property owners and go down there. You know how much money and effort has been wasted on these maps, even if you get them repealed? It's crazy. We should be focused in another direction.
Are you suspicious when – I shouldn't – maybe suspicious isn't the right term, but I'll say it. I'm a little suspicious with Governor Kotek's push to say, okay, we're not going to do anything involving the administrative rules or these hearings about the wildfire map until after the state legislative session is over. And there was a part of me that was concerned that, all right, she's trying to put the landowners to sleep so that they don't get their appeals filed before the March 10th or not. Do you have an opinion on that? I don't know.
Well, the result of that press release she put out was that there were headlines all over the state basically implying that. So there's going to be a lot of confusion. Mm-hmm. Whatever she meant by it, a lot of property owners are going to think, okay, everything's on hold, but it isn't. You still have to, if you want an appeal, you have to appeal by the March 10th deadline. She has sort of tied how are we going to fund wildfires to repealing the maps. It's not clear what she meant by that, but it looks like that in the press release. And this is a repeal that needs an emergency clause and needs to be done immediately because people are hiring lawyers. They're worrying now. They don't know what they're going to be able to do on their property. And this whole deal with the uncertainty around what are your insurance rates going to be, that depends on sort of a stable situation. And I don't think insurance rates are going to immediately go down because we repeal the fire maps. And you've got a very uncertain situation. And so we need to start on this immediately.
I think it's been dangerous what has been allowed to happen because of the improper managing of forests or the lack of attention to this for a long time. And I would also tie this into what we saw like down in Los Angeles. Same sort of thing too, Senator, because I'm concerned that we out on the West Coast, because of horrendous forest and land planning, you know, around this, around our area, our neck of the woods out here on the West Coast, are going to become uninsurable because there's no way that an insurance company could pencil insuring for fire coverage. Any thought about that? Did you talk about that in the state legislature?
That's exactly right. And many properties in my district are not insurable now. Owners cannot get insurance, or it's ridiculously expensive. So this is a very real problem, and it needs to be addressed. We need to figure out how to clean up the forest. There's a lot of brush out there. I sort of favor putting cows out in the forest. It works great. I mean, farmers do this. You put it on your before the fire season starts, you put cattle out on your field.
Yeah, but then that goes against the no moo by 2032 or whatever it is. You know, the whole the whole agenda coming out of the BLM, right? You remember those kind of stories that would come out? Hey,
well, yes, they want to get rid of cows, but you know, most people like hamburgers, and I think we should go down a practical route. The rationality in these agencies is not something you should expect, and we have to inject it some other way.
What kind of reaction in the state legislature has been filtering down from the very strong possibility that Oregon could find itself subject to lawsuits based on grant stream funding and sanctuary state status? Any discussion there? Just curious.
Well, I have heard a little rumors, and I think the other party is kind of worried about that. So
Dan Rayfield, of course, is puffing his little pigeon chest out and filing lawsuits and joining lawsuits. And secretly, he's kind of concerned about this, though. That's what you're saying.
That would be my guess. Remember that politicians worry about money above all else. If they can spend tax money, they're happy. Mm-hmm. And losing those grants is not something they're going to let happen, in my opinion.
Okay. So we'll likely be seeing some modification of how fervently we'll defend sanctuary state law, I'll bet.
That's what I would expect, but they could surprise me.
All right. Another question I had before you take off, and I'm sorry to just pepper you, because it's been a few weeks since we last talked, Noah. State Senator Noah Robinson, Governor Kotek ended up popping into the state legislature yesterday, and she's pushing a bill that would create a statewide homeless shelter system. Cost about a quarter of $1 billion over the next couple of years. This was reported in Oregon Live. I don't know. Have you heard anything about that? I know it's probably on the House side. Maybe it's on the House side yet. Have you heard? Because it's a lot of money. And it's,
I have not heard of that. And I am very suspicious of those sorts of programs. I think that I don't think it will solve the problem. I think they'll wind up spending a lot of money. Well, we'll have to look at the details of what she's trying to do, because it's not something I'm super familiar with. But they've tried this before. We're just going to build affordable housing, which always, when the government does it, winds up costing more than regular housing.
Mm-hmm. And the regular housing is expensive, too. Sure.
Yeah. Every time the government's involved, it costs more. And these problems we have with homelessness are fundamentally, a lot of it's drug-related. And they think that they can treat all the drug addictions at the same time promoting marijuana. And it's just state policies have not been good. And I don't think you're going to fix this problem just by spending $250 million. It'd be nice if we could, but I'm sure I very much doubt it.
All right. Appreciate the opinion. Keep us in the loop in the room there, State Senator. Thanks for coming on. We'll have you back. All right. Be well.
Thank you very much.
State Senator Noah Robinson. It is 7:25 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. You're on the Bill Maher Show.
If you're a business owner, you know time is money. As a business owner myself, I know that your time is best spent working within your business. Hi, it's Megan McPherson, your local Farmers Insurance agent. Allow me the opportunity to put my years of experience to work for you, helping with your insurance needs. Give my office a call at 541-776-0673 to start the conversation. That's 541-776-0673. A straightforward and personalized approach is what you'll get when you choose me, Megan McPherson, as your insurance agent.
With your tax refund on the way, Good Guys Guns has an offer that's just too good to ignore. It's Good Guys Guns Tax Day Refund Layaway Plan. With a Good Guys Layaway Plan, you have 45 days to pay off your favorite firearm, optic, holster, or anything else you want from Good Guys Guns. It's so simple, even Doge would approve. So don't delay. Get to Good Guys Guns and take advantage of Good Guys Guns Tax Day Layaway Plan. Good Guys Guns, your firearm leader at 4934 Crater Lake Avenue, Medford. Good Guys Guns.
Good Guys Guns.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company takes pride in ensuring their customers get fresh, clean water from field to faucet. Here's a recent review from Mike.
I am so grateful for Siskiyou Pump and Rotary Drilling Company. This outfit gets a 10 out of 10. When they say they are going to do something, you can trust that it's going to get done to the highest standard. The drilling team knows their stuff and developed a well producing 28 gallons per minute.
Providing fresh water for Rogue Valley residents for over 50 years. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
Are you a renter? Do you know that for the price of a pizza, you can purchase insurance to protect your life's possessions? Your landlord's insurance won't cover your belongings in a fire or theft. Make sure to protect yourself and your valuables. Buy renter's insurance. It covers your belongings, provides liability protection, and may pay for additional living expenses, such as hotel bills or restaurant meals, if a covered loss forces you to temporarily move out. Renter's insurance is affordable. It often costs less than $20 a month. Ask your insurance agent or company about multi-policy discounts when purchasing renter's insurance. The Division of Financial Regulation has a shopping tool to help you compare renter's insurance policies. Go to dfr.oregon.gov and type renter's insurance into the search bar. Spending that pizza money on renter's insurance will protect you when you need it the most. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Maher Show.
Whenever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes.
Remember, we had announced yesterday that Roberta Flack, Grammy Award-winning artist, had died. Pianist and a singer, just an amazing vocalist. And of course, we all knew her from First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. That was a big one. And I thought that was the first time it had ever been done. And Bob Hayworth sent me the Kingston Trio's version of this. And this was in the early 1960s. You know something, Bob? How interesting. A very different song with a different arrangement, right? You know, a totally different feel. Now, even Bob said that he thought that Bob Hayworth, of course, in the Kingston Trio said he thought that Roberta Flack did it better. But I thought that the Kingston Trio version of it was quite interesting, and I never knew that. Thanks for expanding my musical education there, Bob. I really do appreciate that. It's 729. Some emails of the day, and those are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And they have in-house lab now, which works really well. And I think you would enjoy this because you can get your tooth prep, and instead of having to wait a couple of weeks or so for someone to make the crown and send it to you, they can just have it done and sent to you. It's pretty darn cool, all right? CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com on Freeman Way, next to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant. I'm going to give email of the day. Hans Albuquerque writes about the department head talk we were talking with Doge and the emails going out. Bill, I got to compliment you on the Musk questionnaire. That's actually a great idea to have tasked each department and cabinet head with the duty versus an overall national response to Doge. It accomplishes the gig, and it keeps it tight within each department. Now, after that, cabinet head can then bring the data forth to the executive, and then staff maintain security with each department, like Department of Defense, FBI, DNI, etc. Now, on a related note, I have a close relative who works for a DOD contractor back east who was griping about the email. The complaint was multi-pronged. First of all, she was pissed that it happened on a weekend. Second, they couldn't believe that they actually have to read a single email on a weekend and actually think of a five-answer list on their, quote, personal time. The horror of it all. And this person voted for Trump. It really exemplifies, though, the total spoiled brat mentality of someone who is in the civil servant swamp. Maybe they need to look up the word servant in the dictionary. Hans, I appreciate your writing. Jerry the Bull emails me this morning, too. He says, Bill, I'm going to get straight to this point. And I think he was responding to a Jay Austin commercial that I talked about the other day about what to do with gold, someone who had written me after Mark had been on the show, right? And he says, Bill, if you own gold and you need some emergency cash, say $5,000 or less, you'll be able to get it if you own some gold. Now, it won't matter if you have a car payment, mortgage or rent obligation, poor credit score, whether you're divorced or your debt-to-income ratio is out of balance, or if your credit card is maxed out. If one had some gold, a coin, or a bar, possibly even jewelry, but didn't want to sell it, it could be used as collateral to secure a small loan. Yes, the loan will need to be repaid, or the gold will be lost, but you will get the loan. Here's why. Money talks. It has supreme authority. It is the ultimate asset, and even bankers will listen. This brief story was inspired by a Gen Zer who wanted to start a business and needed a couple $1,000s but had a car payment, debt-to-income ratio problems, etc. I shared this information with the Gen Zer, but it wasn't taken to heart as far as I know. I wanted to say, sell your shiny car and buy one you can afford, but I offered this suggestion instead. Like a man said to me years ago, build an asset base. Build an asset base. Jerry the Bull, I appreciate you writing about that. And of course, great time to talk about Jay Austin, of course, with looking at that price of gold still touching $3,000 pretty soon. Yep, you could. That is something that you could use the gold for. All right. I need a short-term loan, but I don't want to give up the gold. But there, that's considered real money. It's a very, very good point. Jay Austin and company. It's 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. It's not very often I kind of combine the emails of the day with a little talk about Jay Austin, but I think it's worth remembering, you know, what they're doing over there. Good people. All right. Let's see. Who else ended up? Mark from Grants Pass wrote me. If we could moderate the Salem Communist Legislature. It's a big if, Mark, but I'll let you write. He says, you vote, we vote. Doesn't work. They want to kill us. Portland. Understand the insurance rates for homes under the Oregon fire map alone could cause the uprising. We're not going to pay because we cannot pay. Mark, I appreciate your opinion. Thanks for joining in. Janet noticed something on Facebook and said, kind of a funny thing in Ashland, Bill. A woman on Ashland Facebook is asking for feedback on how many people would be interested in a movie Vigilante about how the far right steals our elections. Wants to know because theater space will cost her $700. Did you respond back that you wanted to go, Janet? Oh, that's pretty funny. Butch also writes me this morning, too, about bureaucracy. He says, I've been unable to renew my registration for the Magnum. It expired in June, but it's insured. I decided to skip a mortgage payment and get caught up with necessity, so I went online to DMV to you, and I entered all the data for a 2005 Dodge Magnum. Somewhere along the line, I checked a box which identified my 1963 Plymouth drag car. No VIN number, no document number, zero data entered about the 63, but I got a confirmation for the 1963 drag car. This morning, I called the DMV and I pleaded stupid and I asked them to cancel the 1963 and renew the 2005. Nah, can't do it. Not gonna do it. They want me to renew the Magnum again. I wished I had $126 to POA again, but I don't. My solution is to take the year's stickers for the 1963, never registered in my name, about 26 years ago, and put them on the Magnum's license plates. I even went up the food chain at DMV, but no help. Had I sold the 1963, they would transfer the renewal to the Magnum. If I'm alive tomorrow, I'll call this in for Pebble in My Shoe Tuesday. I do agree with you regarding Elon Musk. It's really stupid to ask someone to justify their work. How will he confirm it? Being a recovering government employee, I would suggest telling agency heads to call out less than satisfactory employees and give them a quota. I'm sure this will be resolved quickly. Michael Murphy writes me this morning about Roberta Flack and says, Bill, I went to her concert in 1973, and she told us that what inspired her to sing the first time ever was a new puppy that she had gotten. Yeah, first time ever I saw your play, your face. That's really interesting. Jeff from Selma says, Bill, I see the Elon move as you do, kind of like when you buy a car to fix it up. As you put money into it, it raises the value for resale. However, you can reach the point of diminishing returns. Same thing applies with outlandish moves. Appreciate the call and the emails there, Jeff. Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. Herman joins me here in a minute or two.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
At Pressure Point Roofing, we're dedicated to delivering top-quality, year-round roofing solutions while creating positive experiences for our customers. With our seasoned, year-round crews, now is a great time to book your roofing project. Have questions about roofing in the winter? Need financing options? Book a consultation today and see how our year-round roofing team can bring you peace of mind sooner. Why wait? Visit PressurePointRoofing.com and let us take care of your roof, no matter the season.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Oregon's Department of Forestry continues to accept appeals from property owners concerned about their designation of the new wildfire hazard map. Governor Tina Kotek announced last week the appeals will be put on hold while state lawmakers discuss potential changes. But still, your appeals must be filed by March 10th to reserve a place in line for future hearings. A recent study found that the top three smokiest cities in the country from 2019 to 2023 were in Oregon, including Bend, Grants Pass, and the smokiest being Medford. The study used an algorithm that measures the impact of wildfires and smoke in a faster way. It collected two sets of data through satellite images of smoke and particulate matter. Nearly 5,000 Providence nurses voted to ratify a new contract, ending a 46-day-long strike at eight Oregon hospitals. Union represented workers will see pay raises ranging from 20 to 42%. I'm Bill London, KMED.
Medford, Grants Pass, Ashland, smokiest cities. Who knew? Yeah, I know. Let me talk with John. John, you wanted to talk about smoke and the fire map there. Quick one. What do you say?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I had an incident. We had a fire near a place, and the state had upgraded their maps. They had put their maps on tablets so that the crews could find the places quicker. Only they used 10-year-old, at least 10-year-old maps, so I had to show them how to get there because the roads that they had were washed out.
Oh, and this is the upgraded maps?
No. Well, hopefully they have upgraded them since.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They had transferred old paper maps onto tablets.
Wow. Well, I can understand why they would do something like that, but you would think you would use new paper maps. But of course, that would make common sense, right?
Well, it's the state of Oregon.
All right.
I will say our local guys are good, though.
Yeah. Well, our at least they probably know where the roads used to be, the ones that that have disappeared right from the map. Hey, appreciate the call. Thanks for that, John. Yikes. 7:39.
Rock This Town by Stray Cats was released in 1981 and peaked at number 9 on the singles chart. Mallette Construction can relate to this song because we rock your town one building at a time by firming up and solidifying foundations, leveling floors, and fixing the water problems that cause instability. So don't let those cracks in walls make you scream and shout. Mallette will rock your place inside out. Visit MalletteConstruction.com. By the way, Stray Cats may look and sound like they're from the UK, but they're actually from Long Island, New York.
Got a mess with the IRS or a tax date with the state? You may need representation. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com. First Response Resolution, your local tax resolution experts in Eagle Point, defending your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com.
The countdown is on for when you can nominate your favorite business in Bi-Coastal Media's annual 2025 Best of Southern Oregon. Nominations for Southern Oregon's Best begins March 12th. You can visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to browse the current magazine and get ideas on what businesses you'd like to nominate to win gold or silver in this year's edition, publishing in August. Nominations start March 12th at bestofsouthernoregon.com. That's bestofsouthernoregon.com. Presented by Dusty's Transmissions.
Hi, this is Lisa, the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
By the way, tomorrow, looking forward to talking with UFO guy, Danny Sheehan. Danny Sheehan, interesting attorney, and has been involved in the UFO world. And there is a big UFO seminar coming to Southern Oregon University. It's going to be March 6th. And Danny has agreed to come on the show tomorrow at 8:10. We'll have a pretty good conversation about this because I'll tell you, the federal government seems to be wanting to throw open the books, so to speak. And I have a feeling this is what this this seminar is going to be all about, throwing open the books and letting you take a peek inside at what some people have already said. Yeah, I already know about this, but, you know, whatever. But Danny's an interesting guy. He has been one of the go-to attorneys in this issue, okay? It's 19 before 8. Former State Senator Herman Bertschinger. Herman, welcome back. Always good to have you on here as we jawbone a little bit about politics and how things are going. How you been?
I've been fine, and I would like to start off our talk today with thanking all these people that has worked tirelessly on trying to bring some realistic point of views to this Senate 62 and its fire map, because it is just a real piece of crap.
It always was right from the beginning, and they've been trying to decrapify it bit by bit with various reform bills. But the whole basic concept of it is about transferring liability for federal fires onto the backs of homeowners that just happen to live near federal lands. I mean, really, that's what it was all about. Really?
Yeah. This is the first shoe. The second shoe to drop is how are we going to pay for firefighting in Oregon? And they will, and that's the second, and that's still coming, because they do not want general fund money paying for wildland firefighting anymore. They want to free that up so they can give $218 million to the homeless.
I was going to ask you about this because Oregon Live reporting this morning, I talked about this with State Senator Noah Robinson. Of course, it was in the slot that you used to hold over there in the district, right?
Yep.
And yeah, you're right. $218 million that she's looking to spend over the next 2 years. So that's like $100-something million a year. It's actually not a small amount of change, pretty good hunk of change here. And it represents the ongoing cost of supporting 4,800 shelter beds that the state already funds. Challenge that I see here, Herman, is that the shelter is not the issue. I mean, there are issues maybe with shelters in some town. I mean, well, even right now, there are shelters available in Josephine County over at Gospel Rescue. But there aren't shelters available for drug-addicted people that want to keep doing drugs or drinking or bring their dogs in and do all the rest of it. And it sounds like this is what she's trying to build, almost like, low-barrier shelters everywhere, as far as the eye can see.
Well, You know, the homeless problem, I think people have had a bellyful. And the only way that this individual, speaking for myself, would approve of any government money to help the homeless is if it was in a controlled environment and there was absolutely no way they could use drugs or alcohol in the facility. And I don't think that's what the Democrats want. If you look at the policies that the Democrats have created in Oregon over the last decade, it's all very favorable to alcohol and drug abuse.
There's no getting past that, and yet
no.
One of the biggest markers of you not being responsible enough to be in a home and being able to take care of yourself is that you're a drug addict or a serious alcoholic, and now there are functional alcoholics, too. I mean, I don't want to say, I mean, I've known functional alcoholics, too, but for the most part, you're a super out-of-control drinker. If you're a super out-of-control drug addict, you're not working. You're not being able to be productive. You're not able to take care of yourself. It doesn't matter if they handed you a home. You wouldn't be able to take care of it, right? Where are we wrong about this? And this is the part that still does not seem to have sunk into our left-wing folks up there, because I'm looking at, by the way, the Oregon Live story here, Herman. This bill that we're talking about is the result of a joint work group led by Kotek and Representative Pam Marsh. I can't believe that every time we're looking at all these intrusions that are coming out, if it's not the fire map and Jeff Golden and Pam Marsh, now it's with homelessness with Pam Marsh. Here we are. It's like they seem to be the major lieutenants of Governor Kotek. But what it would do is direct the Oregon Housing and Community Services Department to divide the state into regions, none of them smaller than a single county, and appoint regional coordinators responsible for creating annual plans for their region and overseeing the implementation of a cohesive sheltering strategy.
And they don't talk anything about the root of the problem, which is alcohol and drug abuse. None. Zero. You know, and you know, I look at Governor Kotek's quote, when I came into office, it was clear Oregon was facing a humanitarian crisis in our state, and we have to make big, bold moves. You created it with your policies. I mean, legalized marijuana, legalized hard drugs, and then her bill. That is, they're trying to repeal, you know, that allows them to, you know, rest wherever they want to rest in your parks, on your streets, and your schools. And they created it. And now, we need to take taxpayer dollars and we need to solve the problem and make big moves.
I would add, though, that going back to that bill that she's proposed here, she's trying to get the legislature to do this year, at least 70%. Of the state shelter funding would be for low barrier shelters. In other words, this is where you go to do drugs and continue to drink like crazy, and you be paid at taxpayer expense.
Huh. Yep. And they're wanting to spend more money on these low barrier shelters than what they spend on wildland fires.
Really?
Yes. Look at the numbers. $218 million. So you got to remember, Bill, when you're seeing the money they're spending on wildland fires, that's not all general fund money. A lot of that comes from the landowners. In fact, but yes, they're willing to spend general fund money, hard-earned taxpayer dollars, on low-barrier shelters where these people can go and do their drugs, which the legislature has made legal. You talk about a screwed-up state. Am I missing something, Bill?
And then you would also then have the battle then of who's going to want the low-barrier shelter with guaranteed drug-taking and drinking problems in their neighborhood. Who would want that?
Well, that prompts another discussion, what's going on right here in Josephine County.
Yeah.
They want to take a piece of property and that's in the county. It's right on the city limits, and then they want to include it in the city limits. And then they want to go ahead and make that a place for a homeless camp and to put these tiny houses, low-barrier shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you something. If I'm a private citizen and I have a piece of property and I want to make it into a campground, do you think I can click my heels together and throw pixie dust in the air like the city does and have the zoning all changed and everything's perfectly fine?
Of course not.
If I wanted to make a campground on one of my pieces of property, I'd be at it for 2 or 3 years going through all the hoops.
So all right.
It's absolute insanity. But like I've said before, these are the people that get elected. And at the end of the day, the problem lies with the person that cast their vote.
However, we have to put up with the disorder that has come here. Herman, you've been there in the state legislature before. Where are we on actually getting treatment? Where are we on deflection? Do you even know? Remember, your time as even a county commissioner with the Josephine County Commission here. How is deflection working out? Have you heard? Are we getting people actually put into treatment? Because this is the root of so much or a major portion of our homelessness issues here in Southern Oregon. If it's not mental illness, it could be mental illness in combination with a serious drug and alcohol addiction.
And that's always been the question. Of course, it's all mental illness. Anybody that wants to take drugs, be miserable, and sleep in this wretched weather has a mental problem. It's really that simple. So it is mental illness. But everything that is available to these people are outpatient.
What does outpatient mean? Herman, for those who don't know.
It basically means if they want to continue drugs and everything, there's no place for them to go. A good excuse is the Gospel Rescue Mission. Mm-hmm. There's beds available there and everything, but guess what? You can't do drugs if you're going to be there.
Which means the beds go begging there, right?
Yes, then they don't go there. So there's nothing that are forcing these people it is their decision. So now you have a person that is on drugs or has severe alcohol problem. And they're saying, oh, if you want help, you can go get it, but you have to initiate it yourself. And they're not going to do it.
In other words, the only way that you're going to be able to do this is probably some form of recommitment or civil commitment again. That we used to do with someone that had some serious problems like this. This is going right back to my deinstitutionalizing of the state of Oregon and all the other states for that matter, not just us.
You're going to have to put them in a facility in which they are kept until you get them off of drugs and get them and sober them up. And at that point, then you might have a chance of keeping them that way in society, and then they can go to an outpatient program.
But just giving them a low barrier shelter in every town, taxpayer expense, it might get them off of the street or keep them from going to the bathroom in someone's doorway downtown, right? It may stop that.
You have to remember, these people that suffer from these addictions are irrational. So they don't think like you and I do. That does not. So just because you give them a place to go does not mean they're going to stay off the streets. Always remember, they're irrational, Bill.
All right. Wash, rinse, repeat, in other words, is what we're hearing.
No, but I will tell you, people have had a bellyful. I really do. They're losing their milk of human kindness rapidly. They're just had it. They can't take their kids to the parks. These people are everywhere. They're harassing. The stores are suffering because of the theft in the stores. They've had it. People have had it. And I have to point out, the only way we're going to change this is by electing different people.
And running the people who are currently there for the most part out.
Right.
Hey, Herman.
So Tina Kotek is out of her ever-loving mind with these policies. These policies are not going to help Oregon. It's going to make it worse.
You think there's a possibility that maybe Tina Kotek's mind will be refocused in a more rational, sense, given that there is likely going to be an attack on grant stream funding that takes care of a lot of current Oregon needs out of the Trump administration, and the Trump administration is not going to be writing hot checks to sanctuary state areas. They're just not going to do it. They made this pretty clear. I know Dan Rayfield can huff and puff and file lawsuits all he wants, but I don't know if he's necessarily going to be successful at this.
No, I don't either. And my crystal ball tells me Tina Kotek's not going to be around long. I anticipate Senator Wyden retiring, and I anticipate Tina Kotek taking that position, being appointed to it, and then her and her wife can move back to the East Coast where they're originally from and serve as Oregon senator for a long time because the people in Portland will continue to elect her. That's what my crystal ball says.
All right. Interesting crystal ball. I'm going to make note of that. We'll hold you to it, Herman.
All right.
Hey, have a good week. Thanks for the talk. But the bottom line, though, belly full, you know, between the belly full of homeless and the disorderly, you know, conduct around here and the criminality that comes with it, along with the fire map, it's getting pretty hot down here, wouldn't you say? A little sporty?
People are upset. They're upset, you know, and now the county is really going to have some financial difficulties at the county level. I tell you, there's going to be some really, really upset people here in the next this year.
Yeah, maybe you just need to merge with Jackson County. I mean, Jackson County, my goodness, I'm reading that Jackson County Airport is going to expand because they're seeing all sorts of demand. Huh?
It's possible, you know, but you know, there's one thing that I do know that the Trump administration sees, and that is the $37 trillion that we have borrowed. They know that's bad. And they're not going to probably reduce it in 4 years, but I think President Trump is going to do all he can to stop it from growing.
He's going to have to meet exit to a certain extent.
Yep. And there's no other way out for us. It's the only real exit policy that we have.
Which means that everyone's going to be squealing.
Everybody's going to be squealing.
Now, that also makes me wonder if some of those plans to expand the Medford, you know, the Rogue Valley International Airport, because supposedly we're going to all be wealthy off of, you know, tourism and motels being full, I think is the goal. We have Rogue X and, you know, all the rest of this kind of stuff. I wonder if some of those plans might have to be changed over time, because I have no doubt that a lot of this is probably built on assuming that there's going to be federal grants coming.
Yeah, and also you got to remember that the Rogue Valley Airport is actually a significant airport here in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only real international airport between Portland and San Francisco, and so I can see the investment in there. Plus, Southern Oregon is growing in population. So if there are grant monies out there, Rogue Valley may rise to the top because of its location, and it is a regional.
So maybe it's primed then to be better than I thought. But you know, there's a part of me, though, that has been concerned of the focus on tourism, because I look at tourism as tourism is great in great economies, right? But it's very discretionary
income.
If
you really look at the numbers, the tourism in Southern Oregon is not, you would think is more than what it really is. I've always said when I was a county commissioner and they would bring up tourism, 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 I'd say, why would anybody that lives there, why would any family of four in Michigan decide to take their 2-week vacation to Josephine County, Oregon?
Well, I think what's going on, though, is that there's a little bit of this in the Jackson County world of, if we build it, they will come. And, you know, the city of Medford, if we build the Rogue X, they will come. And if we build another ball field, they will come. And then we'll do this and that and the other.
Jackson County is a little different. You have Crater Lake.
Mm-hmm.
You have the mountain lakes. You have Mount Ashland. you have Shakespeare's Festival and some other things like that. It's a little different than Josephine County.
Yeah, and maybe so. Yeah, you're right. You're in a different situation.
Yeah, and Curry County has the ocean, you know. What is Josephine County? We have the Rogue River, but it is maxed out because they only issue so many permits on the Lower Rogue. So it's all maxed out. You can't have any more rafters down there. Mm-hmm. That's it. You're limited. And that's the only thing we really have. We have the Oregon Cave, but that's not a real big attendance for as far as national parks go.
And kind of a pain to get to, you know, for most people. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're also the kind of one thing about the Oregon Caves. I mean, I'm thankful we have them, is it's the kind of national park where when you go there once, you don't ever need to go again. Because once you've seen the caves, you've seen the caves. That's the only thing there is the cave.
Yeah, it's one and done, right?
Right.
Unless you book a hotel room and try to see the you know, the haunted ones that some of the ghost people go to go
well,
see.
And that's another thing. There's no hotels out in Cave Junction anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You mean that one that smelled like cat urine? They closed to that? Is that the one that got shut down?
Yep, it's all done.
Oh.
So Josephine County, you know, when people used to always say tourism, 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 I'm just like, okay, tell me what are the attractions that we can promote. Hmm.
Very good. Herman?
All right.
This is the challenge that you would get in Josephine County for sure, all right? Sharpening of the mind. We've got a lot going on. We'll talk next week, all right? Be well.